Nadeem, I wanted to move on and ask about technology. There is a focus on technology in Canada, especially with regards to diagnostic care, cancer diagnosis, CT scans, MRI scans, pretty much anything that is involved more of a technological advancement in order to try and provide better care for patients. What specific things were you looking at? You mentioned that you were looking at MRIs and mammograms and such. In terms of the availability of the technology, how does Canada fare? And the follow-up question, I have a follow-up question after that, but I'd like to know, how does Canada fare compared to other countries, given the amount of money that we're spending?
Well, Canada actually fares quite poorly when we look at the number of machines per million population. We've got about 5 MRI machines per million population compared to an average of about 8. So we rank 13th of 24. For CT scanners, we're down at 12. Compared to an average of 19, which puts us 17th of 23 nations. And for lithotripters, we are second last with less than 1 machine per million population compared to an average of almost 3. Really, we're doing quite poorly on these machines, a bit better on the mammographs, but the picture you build when you look at this evidence is that access to technology in Canada is lagging that in the majority of developed nations and really does not reflect the spending performance in any way.
And that's my next question. If we're spending so much, why are we not able to have all the machines we need compared to, or even meet the average of the other countries? What is it within this system that inherently makes it difficult to achieve those goals?
Well, you know, the problems are that when you have a system that's a monopoly and built on a monopolistic provision model where you don't have competition in the delivery of hospital services, where you don't have appropriate incentives for patients in terms of cost sharing, what you end up is spending more money than you need to get the level of care, and without the competition and the private providers in the hospital sector, you don't get the sort of capital and access to technology that you would see in a more competitive model. The problem here is really the structure of the system itself, that every time we put money into Medicare, we don't get more care out of Medicare. What we end up with is a more expensive Medicare system, and we've seen that in any number of dimensions. We've seen that in waiting lists, which continue to stall out at their all-time high despite massive infusions of cash. We see it in terms of what we pay for hospital support services, where we're paying more than we really do, than we really need to, for cooks and cleaners and payroll clerks in the hospitals, because of the monopolistic provision model, because of the monopoly system. And because of the lack of cost sharing, of course, we have more people accessing the system at more points of care than we would if people were reminded with just a few dollars of fee that there is a positive cost associated with their care so that they make the most informed decision they can about when and where it's really best to use the system.
So where do we go from here with the points that you've mentioned with regard, there are a lot of special interests then involved in any change that comes up, from people working at the hospital to introducing competition to changing the Health Care Act to allow those provisions. How does one approach this? And frankly, is there a will to change it?
Well, you know, I don't know if there's a will to change it yet, but I think people across Canada are beginning to understand that the system simply does not deliver for Canadians. We have incredibly long wait times. The evidence shows that these are some of the longest waiting lists in the developed world. And we know there are 7 nations that have universal programs without waiting lists, which really should be the goal for Canada. We're starting to get a lot of attention now being paid to how much we're spending on healthcare. In 2006, the healthcare program is supposed to cost us almost $150 billion, over $4,500 per Canadian when you take a look at the total amount of health spending in the country. It's incredible what's going on in Canada, and yet the resistance to change that is really felt among the population. But I think that resistance to change is misinformed. The problem is, anytime we talk about healthcare reform, especially sensible healthcare reform, things like cost sharing, like private provision of services, like private parallel insurance, we saw it here in Alberta with Third Way, which is where I'm based. We've seen a bit of it in British Columbia. We hear the rhetoric all the time from Ottawa and Ontario. The first thing that comes up is this specter of the U.S. healthcare program. Mm-hmm. If we change Medicare, what we're going to end up with is the U.S.-style healthcare system, whatever that means, which is just not true. I think what we need to do here in Canada is to move beyond the politics, beyond the rhetoric, beyond the special interest groups, and just simply look at the evidence. What are the facts? The facts are that we have a very expensive healthcare program that doesn't deliver in terms of access to healthcare. We get some of the worst access to care in the developed world. And the evidence is also very clear that the way to sort that problem out is to introduce cost sharing, is to introduce private provision of publicly funded services in a competitive environment, to introduce competition in the financing for healthcare through a parallel private healthcare system, to make Canada's healthcare model look more like the Swedish healthcare model, more like the French healthcare model, or more like the Swiss or Japanese or Australian healthcare model. All of these nations are doing a much better job at delivering on the promise of guaranteeing access to high-quality healthcare regardless of ability to pay. It's something the Canadian healthcare model doesn't do, and if we move beyond the politics and rhetoric, I think we can actually move towards that panacea, towards what Canadians really want, which is great access to a wonderful healthcare program regardless of their income. That's what we need in this country, but it will take moving beyond the politics and the rhetoric to get there.
Well, it seems that there are certain departments in government that agree with what you have to say in terms of their actions. The Auditor General in Ontario a few weeks ago produced a report that stated that the Worker Safety and Insurance Board in Ontario, which is sort of a workers' compensation board, actively pays for access for MRIs for their clients, because their reasoning is that if we can get things done more quickly, they can get diagnosed more quickly, they can get to work more quickly, and as a result, we save money and the person becomes productive again, to which I say, I think that's a great idea. But here you have a government department that is paying $1,200 to a privately established MRI center in Quebec, just across the border in Ottawa here. They will send people to Quebec to have their MRIs done. And they'll even pay for in-hospital services here in Ontario. They will pay to get them to be seen sooner. So here you have a government agency that is doing exactly as in some ways of what you've said in terms of having choice and being able to have someone seen more quickly. And yet they themselves, the government themselves, will prohibit an individual Ontarian in this case from doing the same thing.
Well, it goes even further beyond that. The Workers' Compensation Board in British Columbia has done quite a bit of work in this area. And they've discovered that by expediting surgeries through the private system that's available to them in BC, because, of course, workers' compensation, prisoners, and RCMP and military are exempt from the Canada Health Act and thus have the ability to purchase care privately, what they find is they save money because of how quickly they can get these people through the system and back to work. They save on the income maintenance costs. They also find that people are more likely to return to work. They're less likely to end up on long-term disability when the queue is shorter. So it's not just happening in Ontario with WSIB. It's happening in British Columbia with WCB. It's happening across the country with the RCMP and, strangely enough, with prisoners who have access to the private system that the average Canadian doesn't.
That's amazing. Mr. Nisrael, this has been terrific. Nadim, it's been great having you on the air, and I'm sure we're going to have you again on in the new year.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on the show.
All the best.
Take care.
Bye-bye now. Nadim Ismail is Director of Health System Performance at the Fraser Institute. I guess if you're a prisoner, you've got better health care, according to Mr. Ismail. It's fascinating stuff. We'll be back. We're going to be speaking to Bruce Gamage, Infection Control Consultant at the BC Provincial Infection Control Network and British Columbia Center for Disease Control. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you're listening to Sunday House Call.